And we're back. Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. We got a little something special for you guys today.
In the sense
that we have a Hollywood Hot Takes episode that's on the horizon, the immediate horizon, as a matter of fact. You're going to hear it later this
week. We covered the Oscar buzz from every single festival, broke it down for you, gave you the Feinberg forecast, all this great stuff.
And it was one of those things, by the time we hit stop on the recording, we were like an hour and a half into it. Because we had gone on a couple tangents about non-Oscar related things.
The caffeine had worn off. The shakes happening with my hands. We're losing our gosh darn minds. And we just were goofy for like 30 minutes.
I've always wanted a hamster.
It's like one of those type things that happen. So here's what you're getting in this episode. This is going to be the precursor. We're going to call this the Hollywood Not Takes. Because all the information that you're getting in this episode is not related to Oscar-related programming. True. So what we're going to do is start off going deep dive into what will reveal the winners of our latest 6 Degrees challenge.
Yes, we're re-recording a beginning for this episode where we're going to give you the 6 Degrees of MMO. Big hit. You all love it. You're giving your responses like crazy, and we're having fun with it. You're clicking on that last episode a lot.
We will present a new challenge for 6 Degrees of MMO, and then we will latch on at the end of this, the body of the episode, which was the extra stuff that we recorded from the Hollywood Hot Takes that you will get later in this week. It's a Frankenstein's monster, but it'll all make sense when you're listening to it. It'll be a seamless transition, I promise.
We'll see, Mike.
So, without further ado, let's talk about the 6 Degrees of MMO challenge. That's kind of this our second round. We had 2 winners last time. We highlighted them. We have another 2 winners this time. One of them is we have to check with the Russian judge because there might be a little foul play involved with family relations and people being biased towards the judges.
Hey man,
but it's not. It's a legitimate one of the better answers we got.
He nailed it.
We did get a lot of responses. Again, we love doing this game with you guys. It's really stoked our fire. I have my own answer that took me forever to do. So how you guys were able to come up so quickly with these answers and these movies.
I tried and just failed.
Oh, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
We have unbelievably talented listeners. I love interacting with you guys. This is one of the reasons that we did this. We wanted to have more interactions, and you guys have not disappointed. We're going to give you another challenge at the end of this spiel, but we'll get to the winners first. We were, again, Michael, who are we connecting?
Sydney Poitier to Chloe Grace Moretz. I thought I had a doozy for you guys.
They, of course, are starring in the upcoming Turner and Hooch reboot. I don't know why. Sydney Poitier. How did you even come up with them to start with, by the way?
I don't know.
I mean, Chloe Grace Moretz.
You put me on the spot, and I came up with 2 names.
And you came up with 2. They couldn't be more different eras, different styles of filmmaking, different characters, different gender. It's all completely different people.
Yes.
And yet we have some of the best answers that we can come up with. So the first one, the shortest one, I did not think there was a way in which to connect these 2 by 2 movies only, basically only having 2 links in the chain or 1 link. But the closest we had, also Mike's brother Dan, was able to pull this one out. Sydney Poitier was in Jackal. With Richard Gere.
The Jackal, yeah.
Known for being Sidney Poitier's last on-screen performance. He did a couple TV movies after, but that was Sidney Poitier's last movie.
That movie does not hold up. It's a pretty good first watch when you're a 12-year-old kid going to the movies and seeing one of your first rated R films.
And it just doesn't... I have not seen The Jackal.
1997's so.
Yes.
The Jackal.
Yes.
What was I in 1997? I was like 11 or 12.
Yeah. All right.
13. Yeah.
Have you seen it recently that you know it doesn't hold up?
And it doesn't hold up. Jack Black is in it. Bruce Willis,
Jack
Richard Gere.
Wow. That's fitting enough because it says Sidney Poitier was in The Jackal with Richard Gere, who was in movie 43 with Chloe Grace Moretz. Movie 43, another one of those infamous movies that like everybody had a cameo in.
Yeah.
And it served no purpose other than to make fun. I think Hugh Jackman, was that the one where he had balls on his chin? That was his role in that movie?
I don't know.
Yeah. Ridiculous movie.
I think I've seen it, though, honestly.
Kind of like a farce on a farce, but it got killed by critics. It didn't even make
a lot of...
Yeah.
Too snooty of a word to use for
a compilation piece, right? Like a lot of people. So that was the shortest one. Wanted to give a shout out to also Mike's brother, Dan there. Another one we got, which is actually interesting. I picked it as a winner because it's very current events with what's going on in the music world right now. Ben Miller at Neb is Ben, NEBISBEN. Ben Miller, listener, sent us this chain of events here. Sydney Poitier directed Ghost Dad. Not going the Cosby route, though, directed Ghost Dad with Dakin Matthews, who was in True Grit with Haley Steinfeld, who did the song At My Best with Machine Gun Kelly, who was in Nerve with Dave Franco, who was in Neighbors 2 with Chloe Grace Moretz.
That's some points.
That's amazing, isn't it? Creativity. So we're going through music video land, we're going through songs, we're going through TV, we're going through the director's chair.
Our favorite Franco.
Good. And, of course, those of you following the rap game know that Machine Gun Kelly, as it stands, is in a war of words with Eminem. Eminem having just released his diss track Killshot, made a lot of waves
Eminem
on the internet.
Eminem sounds constipated in that track. Am I crazy?
You are crazy. It is a great diss track. this is good. I'm glad you're making fun of Eminem behind a microphone. That's what we want. That's the exposure we need. But yes, Ben Miller at Neb is Ben.
Eat a little more fiber. That's all I'm saying. Marshall.
Again, I have no part of this. Eminem is a god to me. He, I thought, destroyed Machine Gun Kelly in that feud. But Machine Gun Kelly being worked into this, even though it was submitted a couple days before the Killshot track dropped, thought that was really impressive. It was very of the moment. Ben Miller, winner this round for round two of 6 degrees MMO. Very impressive. Got a lot of entries. You guys are very creative. It's so funny reading these. We just scroll through these and we kill ourselves. Yeah. They're so good and they're so creative in the ways that we wouldn't even dream of. Directing Ghost Dad is not something, a couple people had that actually. It's not something I would have thought of. So good for you guys. Good job, Ben Miller. Good job also Mike's brother Dan there, the winners of this round.
Yeah, I can't take any credit for that one. He came up with it, and I wish I could. I would if I could. But I'll take credit for this right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mike.
So what did you have? What is your chain?
I'm ready, and all that stuff is just erroneous. Erroneous on all accounts. Also, Mike, 6 degrees of MMO for Sidney Poitier to Chloe Grace Moretz. Little does everybody know they were both in Beethoven's 12th, the renowned St. Bernard franchise movie. Mike, we loved all those St. Bernard movies with the dogs and the slobber. Poitier played the angry neighbor who lives next door to the big family, who, of course, cast baby Grace Moretz as the youngest member of that tribe.
They were in the same movie.
It was a great movie. It's my favorite of the recent Beethoven. And, you know, Renaissance films. No, of course.
I'm going to say you're making this up.
I'm lying. I'm just totally lying. Because I couldn't even do this. I had a hard time. I gave myself a question that I couldn't even answer.
Listen, man. I mean, no joke. This is... I tried figuring this out. I was clicking through IMDb. I had no hope of figuring this out on my own.
If you think I was embarrassing in my hypothetical situation, Mike...
Days!
Was just like
IMDb.
Oh... He just couldn't get anywhere.
Lost myself in the wilderness. I did find one, though. I found one, a real chain.
Oh, that's right. You did.
Let's try this out.
You're going to go with this.
Let's see how this works.
I thought you were punting on the whole thing.
No. We're here. I got one.
Oh, no.
It's, of course, going through the classic A Warm December with Sidney Poitier was in.
A warm pair of underwear.
He was in that with George Baker.
I peed in the underwear.
George Baker was in The Spy Who Loved Me. An underrated Bond flick, by the way.
All right.
But not a Sean Connery Bond flick. No. The Spy Who Loved Me was starring Roger Moore. Okay. Roger Moore lent his very thespian English creative talents, of course, to the voice of Cats and Dogs, The Revenge of Kitty Galore. In 2010, where he shared...
No, he didn't.
He shared the soundstage...
I disagree with you, IMDb.
He shared the soundstage with one James Marsden. James Marsden, underrated talent, a Mike One favorite...
I like James Marsden.
...was in Sex Drive. He was the older brother in Sex Drive.
Yeah, that's a funny character.
Now, here's a story about Sex Drive.
Sex Drive's a good... underrated movie.
I think it's hilarious.
Funny.
Your brother...
Great soundtrack.
Myself... And our mutual friend Frank all lived together with another friend of ours, Tim, all lived together senior year at UConn. This is a good decade ago now, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
We decided one night in the winter to take time off. We were all going to skip class that day, except for Tim, who went to a job interview. And we decided to, one, order a party pizza, which was intended for like 14 people, and it was the three of us. And we just watched Sex Drive all day. We ordered it on pay-per-view, and we just sat and skipped class and ate pizza and watched Sex Drive.
There must have been beverages involved.
There was not. It was sober.
Really?
There was no women involved. Oh, I don't think I need to tell you that part either.
This is sad now, no.
And we were all in our PJs from the night before. I don't think any of us had even showered. And we actually had company coming over that night, and we were staring at each other at like 8 p.m. after watching Sex Drive and eating pizza all day. Like, we should probably shower and get ready for the day. So that's how that day, that's my experience with Sex Drive. But I digress!
It's such a bad story. It's such a bad story that I feel like the end of Indiana Jones, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, my face just needs to melt. It's just so terrible.
James Marsden was in Sex Drive, you see.
Still going.
With Clark Duke, who of course was in Kick-Ass 2 with Chloe Grace Moretz.
Clark Duke?
Yes.
How did you go through Clark Duke? What does he even look like?
The bespectacled gentleman. You know him.
Oh, okay. Yes, yeah, he's also in Sex Drive. Oh, that's the point of the game. Yeah, good. I remember him in both those pictures.
I almost spit. That's why this I wasn't laughing. I almost spit out my water there. I literally had to hold it in hard. Yes, he is in Sex Drive.
So, what you do is you take one movie with an actor who's in also another actor. Okay, I get it.
It's a quick breakdown after our second round. But yes, that is, again, the second round of 6 Degrees of MMO. We will have another challenge for you. Mike will lay it out right now. This is going to be round 3. We will post this. Again, you're going to have to listen to this to get the information, but we will post it sometime this week. We'll do a post shouting out the winners of round 1 and 2. I meant to do it from round 1. I missed the timing on that. That's my fault, so I will make up for that. But round 3, hashtag 6 Degrees of MMO. Spell it all out, SIXDEGREESOFMMO. What is the challenge, Michael?
Came up with this in 30 seconds. I'm going to stick with the same format kind of as last time. Do an older actor that I love, like Sidney Poitier. George C. Scott.
Going way back. You're hitting the classics of the classics now. Yes.
I just forgot who the other person was.
Michelle Yeoh. Oh, no. I'm
just leave it in. To Michelle Yeoh. I just came up with it in 30 seconds. Yes. Michelle Yeoh, we loved her in Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes. The infamous pairing, George C. Scott to Michelle Yeoh.
So long.
If you can find... Listen, if you do this in 2 movies... Now, again,
was you just Michelle Yeoh in movie 43 is the question.
You just came off of it off the top of your head. That's a good question. I'm not going to look it up and ruin it. But you know what? If somebody references movie 43 again, they're probably not going to win. Get creative.
All right, fine. Movie 43 is disallowed.
Oh, movie 43 is out, he says. Out is movie 43.
Yes.
So we're connecting George C. Scott to Michelle Yeoh. Good night and good luck to you. I will attempt that, and I will go cross-eyed again, as I cannot do these anymore, apparently. No, but I'm interested to hear what you guys have to come up with.
I'm in awe of all of you.
Love doing 6 Degrees of MMO with you guys. Spread the word. Let your other friends know. And we want to see your submissions. And maybe one day we'll do this for a prize. But for now, it's all about recognition and links and likes and all that good stuff. So that's our 6 Degrees of MMO segment. We're going to leave you now, give you the meat of what we had discussed in an earlier recording. We're going to be hitting on James Bond, a lot of superhero news, all different blockbuster news from around the entertainment globe and the Hollywood globe as we went a little too long in one recording.
Right.
So we're breaking it up.
You thought we were silly idiots in the opening of this episode. Wait till you hear the rest of it. But yeah, we covered James Bond. We covered the DCEU. We covered Leonardo DiCaprio.
DiCaprio was a big part of it. Yeah.
Stuff and things.
Yes. Stuff and things is a good way, but we're calling it the Hollywood Hot Takes. Strap in, guys. Enjoy the ride. And we'll see you soon for a Hollywood Hot Takes as well. Non-Oscar news, let's talk about the new James Bond movie for a minute, Bond 25. Danny Boyle was asked to leave, but he kind of left on his own.
Right.
Because the rumor was that Barbara Broccoli, who is, I think, the daughter of the man who created the James Bond character, asked him to kill off, not 007, but kill off the James Bond. Mm. And he didn't want to do that. So now we're back to Neil Purvis and Robert Wade, who teamed up for Casino Royale and were in a couple. They've done every single Daniel Craig Bond movie, are back with a script that had already been approved by the studio. They're at the helm of Bond 25, the movie for the screenplay.
The James Bond films of the last 10 years have been very strong. Some of the best, we think, of the series.
Absolutely.
Have they been good enough to say, all right, that's the end of James Bond forever? We finally kind of give him... He's not just the one-way action star who gets laid a lot and plays with gadgets and funny
words. He's actually got depth to him, right.
Yeah, he's got some more depth, but it's still not like the character that's like, all right, we're done with Bond. There's no other Bond better than Daniel Craig. That's the way I take it. It's like, I don't think... So we have to kill Bond now and make a new character who becomes 007?
It was Matt Miller's reporting in Esquire. He seemed to hint that the idea was that Miss Broccoli wanted like a Doctor Who type situation. Maybe Bond gets regenerated. Maybe there's a different agent that we focus on that's not necessarily 007. The big conspiracy theory is throughout the years has been that it's one continuous timeline, and 007 is a code name, and James Bond is a code name. It's not so it goes from actor to actor.
Well, that's fine. I mean, I guess you can keep that going. It's just if it ain't broke, man.
And
I'm with you. Here's the thing: like, I just don't want Daniel Craig to be the last James Bond, and then we go 20 years without another James Bond, and we have.
They haven't found a new one. It's not going to be Idris Elba. He came out on Twitter a couple weeks ago and said it's not going to be him. They don't have a guy lined up yet.
We have Billy McKinnon, and it's not Idris Elba. It's Daniel Kaluuya playing Billy McKinnon, and he's a good Bond. He's not even Bond. He's just 007. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
what are we doing? It's James Bond franchise, man.
Your lips to God's ears, dude. I'm with you.
You've had seven of them already, or nine, or whatever.
Right. It's like, what?
What are we doing?
But you're not there for the character development either. I mean, it's nice that he has depth
it's
now.
It's sour grapes that the last movie didn't make as much money as some other these other spy movies, so they're trying to do something crazy.
There you go.
I'm reading between the lines.
No, that's a little my conspiracy. I like it.
It's a conspiracy theory. They're upset that freaking Mission Impossible 6 has got $800 million at the
there
box office now, and sour grapes.
That's not I thought of, but I would sign up for that.
And they're trying to get the buzz up. And it's also sour grapes that they probably have Danny Boyle leaving, and they're arguing with him.
Leaving at the altar, yeah.
There's other franchises that have been killing their leads and their lead characters. I don't want to mention them and spoil them, but it's kind of going dark.
Right now.
It's going dark. There's TV shows and movies. So, yes, Bond is trying to, like, do something crazy to get your attention.
Has Bond ever been about James Bond, though? I know that's a little ridiculous, but hasn't it always been about the women, which is misogynistic, but because they've just been sex objects.
Well, the settings, and yeah,
action scenes.
It's a fantasy. Yeah, they've always been a fantasy, and they're trying to make it more of a grounded story catharsis, but they're doing a nice job.
This is going to sound crass, but if you killed off Daniel Craig as James Bond, would anybody even care all that much? He doesn't want to do these anymore. He had to be bought back for millions upon millions.
But what's the difference between regenerating, rebooting Bond and killing him dead?
That's a great point.
Just reboot
great
him.
Question.
Just you keep rebooting him, new story, young Bond, great. Done.
I think it just comes down to they're having problems filling that role, and I don't know why. Any MoviePass follow-up? Michael, you're holding on for dear life. You are a more dedicated man than... I don't even have a comparison. You are like a soldier entering battle.
Look,
that is just living and dying for your beliefs in your country.
This morning, AMC now allows us to use Fandango. And
that's a big shift.
That's a big shift because I like to use Fandango.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. I can do it online, and that's another added benefit. So it sounds like they're making money with the product, so that Fandango's in on it now. Fandango's giving them some extra money. So I feel like the business is supported.
I feel
good.
And AMC's.
I shouldn't have to worry about these big picture bottom line things, but I am now bankrupted MoviePass.
You have to know it. So it's AMC is $20 a month, right?
$20 a month, three movies
three
a
movies
week.
A week.
So potentially 12 movies a month.
Three movies a week? I thought it was three a month. Three a week?
Three a week.
Oh, boy.
So you can really make out.
Yeah.
And I have to see films that don't play outside of AMC theaters. AMC theaters around us, Michael, they basically showcase the big movies.
Mm-hmm.
So the indie films, I got to go to New Haven. I got to go to Fairfield. I got to see them in the smaller theaters.
Right.
I saw five movies in July. I only saw one in August on the pass because it was going haywire. I've seen one thus far in September, and it looks like I can see The Wife on it. So I'm looking like I could see three movies in 2 months, and I could probably see another one and another one. So I'm going to be able to see those indie movies on my MoviePass is what I'm thinking.
So you're thinking you're going to do both?
I'm thinking I'm going to do both. I'm going to have AMC to see the bulk of my movie going and see the big movies. Because you can see IMAX, AMC,
right.
Which 3D is awesome. You can see 3D, which is great. So I don't have to worry about things. I can use Fandango. So I can have my go-to be that. But I have to pepper in these indie movie theaters. So $30 a month, if I'm seeing during Oscar season, six or seven movies a month, I'm making money.
I just wish that MoviePass took what they had, which was a $40 a month beginning, right? That's
right.
Where they started. And I wish they just took all the money that they funneled into changing it into marketing. Because I didn't know MoviePass existed for $40 a month. But $40 a month, even if you went down to $30 a month, who's not paying $25 a month to see any movie you want, anything? You would have been 2.5 times your revenue at this point. It may have made a difference. You could have been profitable. Who knows? But to go all the way down to 10 out of nowhere and overpromise and underdeliver like they have is just a death knell.
Yeah, the shtick from the College Humor YouTube video.
Oh, that was so funny.
It's pretty funny. The funniest part of that video, in my mind, it's over the top. But the funniest part is what he's wearing. He's wearing the flannel shirt with the sweat shorts, sweatpants shorts. To me, the outfit was the funniest part. But yeah, that's our MoviePass follow-up. I'm going to do AMC and hold on to MoviePass for the moment.
That's because you have disposable income. Lucky bastard.
$10 worth. That's it.
Something we wanted to touch on. Look, we do a lot of this heavy stuff, and we sometimes lead off these types of episodes with them. Sometimes we don't. We don't want to harp on this one. We've already
covered
done a Bryan thorough Singer, investigation yeah. of Bryan Singer. So well, yeah, Bryan Singer is supposed to be coming back. Supposed to be in the lead to get a lot of money to produce and direct the Red Sonja movie, which has been in limbo for a while. Britt Hayes has a great article with Screen Crush, kind of echoing anything I would have said, but in a way more eloquent and succinct manner. I highly recommend you go check it out. Long and the short of it, screw this guy. If he did what he's being accused of doing,
it's so hard for us. It's terrible. Did they rape young men and women or not? They should go to jail if they did.
And if they got away with it. Why are there so many sources that say they're dead? You know, it's just gross. It's all just icky and gross. Yep. These are terrible people. This self-imposed parole that some of these guys are giving themselves and walking out to and thinking that they can just waltz back into a public life like this. I don't understand it. I think it's bullshit, frankly, to be just frank with you. I think it's I don't know where they get the idea from it. I understand that they need to make a living too, but I don't think they need to make a living in the public eye. I don't know. That's my two cents. I know it's tough us, but
can't you find somebody better to direct it? Somebody as good to direct it? I mean, there are plenty of people that deserve directorial jobs out there.
I'm with you, man.
Britt Hayes. Maybe a rapist guy. Isn't he going to hurt your brand of the movie? Red Sonja. Isn't Bryan Singer's name recognition based on the stories of potential rape? We don't know. Neither of us know.
No, we don't.
But those are the accusations that are out there. Doesn't that hurt your brand?
I'm speaking callously, but I think... No, you're not. I think it's a great point, but you're making the point that more better than I can make it, because I don't word well, apparently. But you're absolutely right. I'm with you.
It's a long episode today. Anyway, let's get to some fun stuff again.
We'll do some rapid fire, some new movie news that came out, little tidbits here and there throughout the movie world. We're going to touch on a lot of superhero type news, it seems like. So more blockbuster news, little tidbits. We're going to get some hot takes because that's the whole purpose of these episodes. Michael, the Joker was revealed, or should I say Arthur was revealed.
I hated this picture. It's just Joaquin Phoenix with long hair.
And it was retweeted. Everyone was like, oh, look at Joaquin Phoenix. First look at the joke.
What a letdown.
We were clickbaited with this, weren't we?
I mean, totally clickbaited.
Yeah. It was literally, if you haven't seen it, it's supposed to be his first set photo from his new Joker film. And it is literally Joaquin Phoenix staring at a camera. And he happens to have long hair.
I lose confidence in the whole production. When you leak out I don't know if it was leaked or maybe... I don't know. Maybe somebody stole the pictures. They knew it was getting leaked, so they released Joaquin Phoenix without the makeup and just a set photo or whatever. They took a real photo of him. A million conspiracy theories in this episode, Mike.
Yeah.
This one's bothering me the most. Like, you gotta release the first picture of the Joker as the Joker.
As the Joker, yeah. I'm with you.
Why are we origin story Joaquin Phoenix, like... A couple weeks before he puts on makeup.
And the first time I saw it without context. So I was like, why is this picture of Joaquin Phoenix online? And then I was like, oh, it's the first shot from the joke. I'm like, oh, that's Joaquin Phoenix, though. I don't get it. I'm with you. It's weird, a weird move.
There was one scene where Heath Ledger did not have makeup in the... In the Batman Dark Knight.
But he was on screen quick.
It was quick. And he was like in a cop uniform or something. Not really a spoiler alert, but it's just so... If they showed that before Heath Ledger took on the Joker, you know, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Again, DC, what are we doing?
DC. Speaking of DC, what are we doing? Superman news.
Henry Cavill's out.
Henry Cavill is out.
He was too famously awesome in the latest Mission Impossible movie. So we have to get... He's too hot right now. We got to get rid of him.
Right?
He's too successful in the other movie.
Too big a name. So, Henry Cavill, your Superman, gone. Ben Affleck isn't coming back for Batman, he said. So, Batman, they better bring like a caravan of Brinks trucks to Margot Robbie's estate and just pray that she stays.
I have no problem with them rebuilding the franchise or the universe around Margot Robbie and, of course, Gal Gadot. I have no problem with that.
Same here.
But, you know, Henry Cavill has a place there. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. I think the overall
point... They botched Justice League. But
the overall point is that you can't... I mean, having a DCEU on Wonder Woman and Harley Quinn is great. It would be unique. It'd be a great opportunity. But the fumbling, if you started with Batman and Superman, which are obviously the more well-known properties, and you fumbled them that badly in public, boy, that looks bad for confidence sake.
Talk about retcon, what they're going to have to do and retcon this whole thing.
God.
Because now you have Gal Gadot as a hit, and you have Harley Quinn that's a hit, at least in box office. And,
right.
Yeah, I mean, two big-name actresses. That's great. Again, you should also handle these other big characters. Well.
Here's step one of the recovery project. Step in and take over Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn funding, because she's supposedly self-funding that from her own production company. Give her the money and let her run with it.
That movie made so much money, and I think it's the main reason for it was that she was such a crazy character in the trailers.
I have to believe that's
true. Bohemian Rhapsody felt like it matched up with Harley Quinn's oeuvre. Right? And everybody saw that movie because that trailer was so freaking good.
I'm with you. I would give her everything she needs, but my God, if you lose Gal Gadot and Margot Robbie on top of losing Batman and Superman, you don't have a universe. It's not an extended universe at all. It's just DC Comics.
I did hear a lot of people say they want the Batman Beyond storyline with Michael Keaton as old Bruce Wayne. That would be pretty great.
But do you have any confidence in them to pull that off? Do you have confidence in them to pull off a Harley Quinn movie right now? Oh my God, I'm so worried. And we want to live in a world where these two, Marvel and DC, are going head to head all the time.
Let's say Harley Quinn's out. You can fast forward in time to like futuristic DC, or I don't know the comics well enough, but you can fast forward in time. I know Batman Beyond from watching it as a kid or younger. You could fast forward in time and have Margot Robbie not age, because she doesn't age.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
Not Margot Robbie, Gal Gadot not age.
Either one, yeah.
And Wonder Woman doesn't age. So it makes sense. You can have Wonder Woman in the Batman Beyond universe and have.
Yeah, I mean, logistically, Superman. There is a way to do it and make people happy. But DC, come on, guys. Man. Conjuring 3 may shoot next year. That's good news. 2020 release. We were all about Conjuring Universe. We just wrapped up The Nun, which was awesomely bad at parts. I mean, I don't think we're spoiling anything by saying that it's for a horror movie. You should see it.
I think it was strong in terms of horror movie goods.
Yeah,
I
definitely
think
delivered.
Back to that movie, and we're probably a little high on it.
Don't study the character's decisions.
We forgave that movie its sins. Let's just say that
much. As a movie called The Nun
should. A lot of critics that I read after we had our podcast, they make a lot of good points. But we enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, it was.
What are you calling them? We call them like we see them.
It's not Oscars fodder. It's a crowd pleaser.
Right.
And
it was a movie event.
$1 zillion.
Yes, it did.
The highest debut of the Conjuring universe. So it's no wonder that the Conjuring 3 is going to get on
board. We walked out of that theater feeling good.
Yeah.
Having fun.
If not confused about some of the character decisions.
True.
Yes. So, Zombieland 2 is going to start shooting in January. A little bit of news to end on. The Deadpool writers are coming back to their roots. They did the first one. They're doing this one.
I wonder if it's too long a wait, but I'm in. I like that movie. I can't get that excited about it. It's been 10 years ago. I guess I got to watch Zombieland 1 again.
Am I crazy for thinking this has a chance to be Oscar fodder? Zombieland 2? Listen, let me lay it out for you. Just wait. Okay, let me make the case. It's got Oscar noms. It's got Oscar noms all over. Emma Stone's back. Jesse Eisenberg's back. Woody Harrelson's back. They've worked together in the original, this crew. So they have chemistry. They're all back again. The original writing team had a great script in the first one.
Yeah.
They spread their wings. They almost made a Best Picture nominee in a crazy movie, Deadpool 1. It got some Best Picture buzz for a nomination. It didn't end up making the cut. They also have experience making a great sequel, right? Or they were at least attached to the sequel in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So they can make an okay sequel. There's something here. There could be. Horror movies are having a big moment in the Academy right now.
Yeah, but not like this type of horror movie.
I'm just saying. I'm not expecting it. I'm not saying it looks like a duck. I'm just saying I think I might notice it has webbed feet. That's all I'm saying.
It's a webbed-footed swamp thing kind of character. I don't know what you're going for with that. No.
Fair. We'll move on. Rambo 5 is happening.
You.
Sylvester Stallone. He's doing workout videos in the jungle. Thank you, Sylvester, for being here. Let's just give him all the steroids. If we just make, like, let's make PSAs. Let's tell kids we don't want to, like, you shouldn't do steroids. They're bad for your health. This is for science. And we just load this guy up with all the steroids. And we just see what happens.
You wrote down here, Super Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Yes,
we just make him the Super Shredder.
That's pretty funny. Or Bane, or
I don't know. Like, we just, Sylvester Stallone's done enough. Obviously, he's on some type of enhancer.
Man's in his 70s, isn't he?
He's on some type of enhancer.
And he's doing an action movie.
Let's just give it to him. Just go ahead. Let's see what happens.
How good were the wrestling matches with Ric Flair like 4 years ago when he was still in it?
They were wrestling matches.
Okay, so that's probably what it's going to be here. But he's a good writer. He's a good director. I don't mind a writer-director in his 70s, and that's fine. Clint Eastwood's still making good movies, so.
Jonathan Kasdan wants to do a sequel to Solo, a Star Wars story with a smaller budget. I'll be honest, your ranting in our first Devil and the Advocate episode kind of turned me off to ever giving it a chance, so I never saw it, so this is all you.
I'm not a fan of Solo, a Star Wars story. I don't think this actor can pull off Harrison Ford. And he didn't have enough charm, the rest of the character, to kind of reinvent it. So I don't want to see Solo played by anybody but Harrison Ford again, honestly. Unless somebody convinces me otherwise. Also, I think that movie's kind of silly. I think it was overrated, in my opinion. I'm more film appreciation than I am film criticism.
Sure.
This is a movie that just riled me up, made me angry from the start to the end. I'm like, that is not Han Solo's characteristics, not his mannerisms. I don't need an impression, a one-to-one, but I need it to feel like Han Solo. And I
did a little something.
I didn't get any of that in that movie.
So you thought the through line, if you were to be young Solo, old Solo, there was just nothing connecting the two.
Yeah, not at all. At least, you know, Spielberg, you get young Indiana Jones, and there's all these little mannerisms that they try to copy or derive.
Sure.
I didn't see any of that work done here.
It's an interesting criticism because I didn't do a deep dive into the reviews for Solo, but I haven't seen that. I just saw that the writing was kind of weak. It was the general consensus. But you're making a case that the portrayal was kind of the weak link here.
Yeah, I didn't love the end of the movie either. So would the writing was weak. And I got to see it again, I guess.
A smaller budget sequel?
I'll see any Star Wars movie.
You're not oversaturated totally yet.
If you give me another one, I'll see it. If you give me a Boba Fett movie, a Lando movie, I'll see it. Smaller budget, whatever. I'll totally
see it. Okay. So you're not past the point of no.
I am too dug into the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah.
I have to see everything. All right. But I would prefer something else.
Last category here is just for fun, but go ahead, Mike. You can take it.
Leonardo DiCaprio loves cargo shorts. And Coldplay lead singer Chris Martin wrote a song about it.
Stop the presses!
$8 million charity event. Chris Martin kind of made fun of Leo. According to one attendee's Instagram video, Martin said, this is in a Hollywood Reporter article, "I studied him very closely for about 5 or 6 years, and what became clear to me was his unbelievable service, his commitment to the business of cargo shorts." What? This is a guy. He's
like a hard left at the end there.
He's seen cargo shorts, and he said, "I'm going to save these shorts from extinction. They should have gone out of style 25 years ago. I'm personally going to fund the sort of renaissance of cargo shorts that I guess everybody's wanting." I don't know. What the hell, Chris Martin? What the hell, Hollywood Reporter? Slow News Day?
I'm going to say what we're all thinking. Chris Martin and Leo DiCaprio have probably slept with everything in Hollywood at this point. Men, woman,
Leonardo alien. DiCaprio has. I guess Chris Martin could if he wanted to. He's married to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right. So what I'm saying is when you get to the point where you're pretty much, I mean, they're financially untouchable. In their careers, they're untouchable. They're professionally untouchable. Mm-hmm. They're sexually untouchable. When you get to
they're
that
great
point.
In the sack, yeah. Said the Oscar critic.
And you run a party that's a $10,000 a ticket invite. That raises $8 million from just 300 people. You literally can say anything, I guess.
They said a lot of good things at this charity event, Mike. It was for a good cause that I didn't write down.
It was.
But there was a big roast thing about Leonardo DiCaprio loves cargo shorts. To this day, he wants to keep them going. I'm wearing cargo shorts
right now. So let that be a lesson to all these fashion blogs that are like, please stop wearing cargo. Cargo shorts are damn comfortable, and I'm not going to have you tell me that Leonardo DiCaprio doesn't know fashion.
I agree with you, Leo. They die when we say so. You and me, we're wearing cargo shorts.
The long-awaited and anticipated also Mike Leonardo DiCaprio team-up finally has happened.
Me and Leo, man.
Yeah. What, $10,000?
For life.
That Hollywood Reporter article was it said $10,000 per ticket into this event. Silent auction raised $8 million for whatever the cause was. I mean, God, and it was only 300 people.
You'll never see me in skinny jeans or whatever the hell the kids are wearing nowadays. Wearing my cargo shorts. I agree, Leo. I agree.
Can't wait for that mixtape to drop with the two of you. Oh, we got through it. We got through it all.
That was fun.
A lot of tangents, a lot of left-hand turns, different paths down the highway.
They're not takes.
You don't need to stay on the main roads. They're not takes. That's absolutely
They're
right.
They're not takes.
Sometimes the back roads are the way to your heart. I don't know. But yes, guys, that was our first ever, by mistake, essentially, but for hopefully your benefit. We hope we gave you some news and some silliness that you could latch onto to kind of get the beginning of your week underway. The Hollywood Not Takes from Mike, Mike, and Oscar, the first delivery of those. Once again, you can reach out to us. We want to hear all your opinions on any topic we covered. Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook. Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram. At MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine. Mike, Mike, and Oscar at gmail.com, on Reddit. iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, we're everywhere, Google Play, everywhere you see podcasts. If you can give us a review, a listen, a thumbs up, a like.
They help, they really do. Thanks.
Drop us a comment.
Don't
we try to get back to everyone.
Judge us by this episode alone. We do more.
Or do.
Highbrow
whatever.
Stuff. Or yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll
see. It's your world, man. We just provide the content. Once again, hashtag 6 degrees of MMO when you can. You are connecting George C. Scott to Michelle Yeoh.
Yes.
I almost forgot at that time, but yes, it is George C. Scott to Michelle Yeoh. We'll pick out a winner sometime next week, and we'll give you the highlight and the link and all the plug in the world. Michael, any final words of wisdom here?
Joker, put on some makeup.
Yes.
And Leo, I'm with you, man. Keep wearing them cargo shorts.
Keep those pants off. Yes.
Yes. No, on. I want them on.
Well, the cargo shorts, no pants. Okay, let's take the shorts off. There's a miscommunication going on here is all that is.
But if he reps the shorts, Mike, I can still wear mine.
Yes, that's what
that's
that means.
What I'm telling myself, that me and Leo are one.
The tag team championships will soon be yours and every.
We're like best friends, pretty much.
I call him L. Guys, reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us, and we will check you out for the Hollywood Hot Takes episode coming soon.
See ya.